This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
What does Islam teach about the purpose and importance of marriage?
Brother, we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Aw kama qal," that marriage is half of the faith. That's number one. And actually, when he said half, it doesn't really mean half. It's like it means like it's such a significant part of the faith that without it, the faith is not complete. So having said that, marriage is the principle which makes legal procreation. And what could be more important than the procreation of the human race? The building of the starting of a human family. Okay, the human family, which is the center of the community, human community. So in this regards, we should not take the issue of marriage lightly. We should not review the issue of marriage like it is like, you know, inshallah, if I can get a wife, inshallah, if I can get a husband. No, mashallah, tabarakallah, you must get a husband. You must get a wife. You must be thinking like that. Once you enter the level of your life where you become responsible, responsible to be thinking about, you know, your own maintenance, your own school, your own direction, having your own responsibility in life, at that time you have to be thinking about marriage. Because if you're not thinking about marriage, then what happens is that the normal physical attractions, dynamics are going to kick in. For girls, it might be 12, 13, 14. For guys, it might be 13, 14, 15. And maybe some people might ask, well, why is it a little bit slower for the guys? Because girls are simply faster than the boys. That's it. And why? That's not our subject today. Just to let you know that most cases, girls know much more about what they want and who they want before the guys do. And so young people should start thinking about marriage. You know, when they enter high school, they should be thinking about marriage. Girls are going to be thinking about boys, and boys are going to be thinking about girls, regardless of what their parents say. Doesn't matter whether they're niqabi, hijabi, whether they're muttaqi, you know, whether they're mutawwi, or they come from a good family, bad family. Doesn't matter. The physical issues, the psychological issues, the social issues are going to drive them towards wanting to be with the opposite sex. So we need to prepare them for that. Even our Prophet ﷺ said, you know, when your girls reach the age of menstruation, make preparations for them. That doesn't mean give them away when they menstruate. Girls can start menstruating at 10, 11, 12 years old. Doesn't mean that give them away or prepare them for marriage. Doesn't mean that. It just means that that's a sign for the parents to begin programming them, preparing them, seeding the ground or the soil for them about this important issue. For boys, a father, he knows when his son is entering that area. A father will know, especially early in the mornings. The father will know when his son's voice starts to change. The father will know, you understand me, in many different ways. So the father and the mother have to be on point to watch for these things. And when they watch for those things, they need to start preparing those children for leadership, for responsibility. You know, we know that the companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his name was Zayd, Usama, who was the son of Zayd, radiallahu anhuma. You know, he was chosen by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be the head of the military army, the whole military. When he was 15, the Prophet ﷺ selected him, and when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he was 16, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was 16 and he was the head of the Jaysh. This means he was a man. He was able to assume leadership. So then what about marriage? Marriage is very important, and it's not something that should be casually looked at or delayed unnecessarily by the parents and procrastinated upon by the young people.
How can parents be part of their child's marriage journey while still allowing them to choose their own partner?
Parents got to keep it real, not cultural. You know, your culture, the you know, the geography or the topography or, you know, the place where you were born, your language and your cultural dynamics and all of that there, your tribe, your people, your language, you know, the temperate, your history and all those things, they do matter. But they should not be overridden by the normal inclinations that young people have. So therefore, a mother and a father need to think about when they were 15 and 16, if they can. And not think about being dad, being mom and dad all the time. You're not mom and dad. You happen to be mom and dad, but there was a time when you was not mom and dad. You know, you had a mom and dad. So you need to think about that time and think in reality. When I say keep it real, go inside your daughter's room, mothers, and sit on her bed and try to think about her, how she feels when she's going to school, how she feels when she comes back to school, how she's talking, how she's looking, you know, her temperament, her behavior, her manners, how she's looking. You gotta be able to anticipate almost, you gotta be able to transcend your age to become like her and start thinking and making preparations for her. And dad, you know, you gotta think the same thing. Watch your son when he goes to school and when he comes back home, if you happen to be there. Talk to your son like a friend, like his homeboy. Walk with your son. You know, drive past and watch, see how he's interacting with his friends. Look at his clothes. See how his clothing has changed from when he was 10 to now he's 13. You know, see, check his voice. You know, his mannerisms. Look around his room. You can smell his body. You can see, you understand me, he's a different guy. And you got to take the time to do that. And you got to sit in his room and imagine you're being him if you can. And you got to make preparations for him as a friend, not as a father. We're not talking about regulating. We're not talking about setting rules and boundaries, telling him what's it's like this, it's like that, this is what you're going to do, this is what you can't do. Well, you can do that, but you got to learn to do that from the back seat. If you're really smart and sensitive in the world that we're living in, because guess what? The children that are 13 years old and they got a phone, they got Wi-Fi, they are at least 5 years faster than they was before there was phones and Wi-Fi. So be fair, be just, be nice, be sensitive. Put the culture to the background if you're able to. And if you can't put the culture to the background, you're going to cloud everything. You're going to cloud the reality with the cultural issues. And you're going to cloud your relationship with your children by setting too many rules and standards and all that. They know your mom. They know your dad. They know their rules. They know what Islam says already. You don't got to keep on playing that part. What you got to do now is be wise, be sensitive, you know, be resourceful. Learn to be more friend than mom and dad before they leave you. Because children are leaving the parents faster nowadays. When I mean leave you, maybe they're going to be inside your house, but they're already gone. So, mom and dad, you got to think about these things. May Allah make it easy for you.
How can we as a Muslim community do a better job preparing our youth for healthy and happy marriages?
Well, first of all, we got to think about what happens outside the masjid. We got to stop playing this masjid game, this masjid role. How are we going to be inside the masjid? You know, practicing the sunnah inside the masjid. You know, saying all the right things inside the masjid. Crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, you know what I'm saying, inside the masjid. Qala Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fiqh of this and the fiqh of that, you know, and the aqidah and the tafsir and the rules and the regulations, and the scholar said this and the scholar said that. You know, all that's good in the masjid. But what happens outside the masjid? And I mean immediately when they come outside the masjid. Some of the young people, they already Wi-Fiing or hooking up while they in the mosque. When they step outside the mosque, they going at it. They going to meet with whoever they want to meet with. Could be like around the corner. And mom and dad, guess what? Your children no longer got to go uptown, downtown, cross town. They ain't got to go nowhere to meet their honey if they got one. The girl they interested in case you don't know what that means. You know, the girls, they ain't got to go nowhere outside. They can be talking with who they want to talk with, interacting with who they want to interact with right in front of you, And they know how to do it. There's software, they can do it. So if you ask them, let me see who you're talking to, they know how to switch it, you understand me, right? From TikTok to something else, or to Snapchat, or back to TikTok, or whatever they're doing. They real fast. They got the technology, and they know how to use them tools better than you. So keep it real with your children. You know, we got to build a real community. And brothers and sisters, in case you don't know this, the community is not the people inside the masjid. People is calling that the masjid community. That is not a community. Let's define a community. A community is a geographical area where people live mostly as families, where there are agencies and there are kinds of resources and things all around. There are resources, there are agencies, there are buildings, there's other families with other faiths, and this is a community. That community is led by individuals who are in leadership. In the case of a Muslim community, there's a Muslim leader. That is not the person who's giving the khutbah. That's not the person who's leading the prayer. A Muslim leader is the person who basically holds the responsibility of guiding, teaching, coordinating, and at times commanding the right. And enjoining, commanding what's right and forbidding what's wrong and arbitrating and showing people where the resources are. That's a leader. So a leader who has a community responsibility, which is outside of the building, that's something different. In the building, there's a congregation. Outside, there's the prospect for community. So the first thing we got to do is stop faking the moves. Stop acting like we are a community inside of a building. We are not a community. We are a congregation. That's the best you're going to be, a congregation. A group of people who are doing acts of worship together in a building. That's a congregation. Leadership requires a community. And a real community requires real social, political, religious leadership. And if we want to talk about marriage and building a real community, we got to talk about that outside the masjid in the real world.
Why do you think many Muslim youth are getting involved in dating and premarital relationships, often leading to zina?
Yeah, that's happening because, we adults, we living in la-la land. That's what we call it, la-la land. You know, you're reading a whole lot of Quran, you're flipping a whole lot of pages, you know, he's talking a lot of hadith and a lot of religious rhetoric. You know, like, you know, you got all the clothes, you got all the garments, you know, you got all the tools, you know, that we call religious, okay? But outside the masjid and outside of our buildings, we ain't got the tools. And guess what? Today, our children know where to go. And they can go to wherever they want to go to virtually. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, let me keep it real and graphic for you. If girls want to see boys and boys want to see girls, they can see everything right now. And I mean everything. And girls, niqabis, hijabis, they taking the clothes off. You say, oh, not my Fatima? Oh, not my Ahmed? Yeah. Maybe not your Fatima, maybe not your Ahmed, but there are some Fatimas, Aishas, and there are some Abdullahs. They using TikTok. They using Snapchat. You know, they're using these tools, and they know how to use them and when to use them for them to do what? Find out what they like and what they want to do. What's the difference? That they know that their mother and father trust them. That they have taqwa, that Allah is seeing them although they don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they're being given the trust and the amana, okay, and the responsibility. They've held workshops about this issue. You know, so in that workshop, we can talk graphics, we can talk reality. You know, this is not about the masjid, this is not about the imam, you know, this is not a whole lot of fiqh and tafsir and other kind of things that we talk about inside the masjid. This is about what happens on the way to school, what happens on the way back from school, what happens on the job site, what happens when they're going out shopping, when they're inside them places, you understand, drinking coffee together, or they're having shisha together, or, you understand, what happens in the club. And after the club, we got to talk about those things. We got to talk about those curly-haired kafirs who's in the high school that all those hijabi and niqabi girls, they like them. And how them boys don't care nothing about no hijab and no niqab. them little Kaffirs, you know what I'm saying, out there, got them little cars, they got their little wheelies out there, you know what I mean? They got some dope, they looking nice, they got the branded clothes on and all out there. And guess what? Our hijabis and niqabis, they are regular girls, and they like some of them boys. They're not going to those boys because of the rules is there. But guess what? At the right and opportune time, when they might be weak or vulnerable, guess what, Dad? You just lost your daughter. Because you didn't kiss her, because you didn't hug her, because you didn't encourage her, because you didn't bring her no roses, because you didn't ride her in your car, because you didn't talk to her about the real things like men talk, you didn't compliment her. So they got some other dude that's complimenting her, riding her around in the car, you know what I'm saying? Before you know, guess what, Dad? You know, you lost your daughter. And guess what, Dad? Your son, Abdul Rashid, you know, who you preparing for this and that, he's a Hafiz of Quran and so forth and so on, because you didn't talk to him about the birds and the bees, you know, about the realities. You know, you didn't get into that and talk to him about that because you were so busy preparing him to be an imam, to be a khatib, to go to Azhar, or to go to the university in Medina, or blah, blah, blah. You've been so busy doing that, you forgot that you're living in America or Australia or Canada. You forgot that at 7 o'clock at night, everything changes in the Muslim world. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the last lecture I talked about the yellow and about the orange and about the red. If you don't know, let your kids listen to it. They'll tell you, yeah, Dad, that's the way things go. Even if they're not the ones that's there. I guarantee you, 30% of our children, they're not going to be out like that. They're not doing that. Allah blessed them, Allah protected them. But the other 70%, that's where they are. And I'm talking about what? The scholars' children. Yeah, the ulama and the fuqaha. The students of knowledge, their children. Yes, that's correct. The khatib, last Juma, his children. Those who recite the Quran so beautiful on YouTube. You know, those, you know what I'm saying, the most powerful, you know what I'm saying, wild, you know what I'm saying, their children. But you know what? Because we're Muslims from different cultures, you know, we don't like to be shamed. So we don't talk to each other about what happens with our daughters and what happens with our sons. We don't talk about that, you know. But guess what? When you travel around the world, you know, and you're from America too, you can't hide nothing. You know that these are the things that take place. So, brothers, you know, there's some things that's happening right now that if we're not on top of things, guess what? When the fruit falls from the tree, anybody can get it. You feel what I'm saying? You got to be able to, as a father and a mother, to understand the fruit is hanging. The fruit is hanging. And if you keep procrastinating, talking about she ain't ready yet, he ain't ready yet, I want her to finish college. I mean, what you smoking? What you smoking? You want her to finish college? You want him to finish college before they talk about marriage? Come on, the fruit has fell to the ground and you not around. Yeah, get that part together. The fruit has fell to the ground and mom and dad is not around. So we got to make the proper preparations and can't procrastinate and lie to each other. We got to keep it real.
How can we help the youth that engaged in zina and want to repent sincerely while avoiding shame?
We got to have workshops for the young people. We got to have workshops. A workshop, just let them come inside and sit down and talk. You know what I mean? With no shame. I mean, they're not going to curse. They're not going to talk no graphics. There's nobody going to, ain't nobody going to say the actual face of what they did because they don't have to. We're not no clergy. You know, we're not no priests. Ain't nobody got to come to their mom and dad and confess. But we need to talk about it because guess what? Boys talk with they boys. Guys talk with they homeboys about almost everything. They might not mention the girl. The girls may not mention the boy. But they talk about things because to their best friends. So if mom is her best friend, guess what? Sooner or later, she's going to talk to her mom. And what should we tell young people when they do these things? Tell them to make tawbah. Tell them that tawbah is real. Tawbah is not just a ceremony. Tawbah is not just about being sorry. You know, tawbah is not even just to be asking for forgiveness. Tawbah is a formula. It's a protocol that's established between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the doorway that's open all the time for us to enter and bear ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Samiul Aleem. Allah, He already saw, and Allah, He already heard, and Allah, He already knows what has happened. It's you walk through the door and say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've done wrong. You know that. And oh Allah, I'm sorry, I'm going to do my best not to do that. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please forgive me. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll make a commitment to change my life and to close the doors and to be with different people and try to reconstruct my life. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and help me. And oh Allah, give me the strength. And Allah, give me the resources. Give me a new set of friends. And oh Allah, keep me vigilant. Oh Allah, keep me alert. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me even from myself. That the Prophet asked Allah to protect him from everything, even when the twinkling of an eye. Now, you know how fast the twinkling of an eye happens, so things happen to young people that quick. You can't say it won't happen, it happens that quick. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we got to talk to these young people one-on-one, or we got to host workshops. Sometimes a young person just need to walk into the door and talk with somebody that's keeping it real. A counselor. An OG that's not going to judge him or her, that's just going to advise him, that already knows where you've been. They can tell. They already know how you're rolling. They can see you. They can advise you, and they're not going to tell your parents. Somebody that's going to keep your secret. That's what kids are looking for. They're looking for somebody they can talk to that's going to keep their secret. A counselor. So this is what we need to do with our young people. Let them know, listen, things happen. You know, things happen real quick. So if something happens, or it's beginning to happen, or it's in the motion of happening, come and talk to me. I'm your dad. I'm your friend. Come and talk to me. I'm your mom. I'm your friend. That's what you got to be able to do. Now, if you can't do that, it's going to be hard for us to be able to not only counsel our children, but also for us to correct what has happened when something does happen. Why? Because they're going to go to who they confide in. And when they go to their homeboys or their homegirls, that's a fool sitting with another fool. Why do I say it's a fool? You show me a young person, I show you a fool. Because they're going to be engaged in foolishness, making mistakes because of their emotions and their naivete. They're going to be making those kind of mistakes over and over and over until they get old enough, you know, to realize, you know, something that how they protect themselves. So I think it's about keeping it real and having opportunities where our kids can, we can call it sit and shout. You know, sit and shout. That means that they can get stuff off of their chest or off of their breast. They can get it off and say and ventilate with somebody that's not going to judge them, so that we can see how things go and we can make the right assessment. We can make the right evaluation. We can make the right, come up with the right prescription for them. And it's all about confidentiality. It's all about being sensitive and being their friends. And we ask Allah to allow us to be able to do this as adults. You probably may be asking yourselves, and it's a legitimate question, check with all the advices that you're given about marriage and, you know, and about counseling and about preparing and what to do and how to do and how to protect ourselves and, you know, selecting the right person and all these different things. Is there a platform that you've already put together? Is there some kind of a manual or set of tools, you know, something that you have that would be accessible for young people and their parents? The answer is yes. We have a program called Niyya to Nikah. Niyya to Nikah, the road to marriage. You know, Niyya, it means having the proper intention. From the time you want to get married, from the time you feel you want to get married, from the first time, you know, some of you start having those leanings, those inclinations towards marriage. Because to think about marriage is moral. You know, to think other than marriage is immoral. You know, to make preparations for marriage, that's halal. That's like wajib. But to start thinking and planning on how you want to see and who you want to see and what you want to do and all that, that's haram. I mean, that's leading to the haram. It's wrong. It's immoral for you to be thinking like that. Okay? And it's haram where it's going to lead. So niyya, the correct niyya, to nikah, the enjoyment. That's what the word nikah means. Doesn't mean marriage. Nikah is a part of marriage. It means enjoyment. So niyya to nikah, the road to marriage. Myself and my colleagues, we developed this platform about 20 years ago. We've been using the platform, talking about the platform, presenting the tools and components of that platform for the last 20 years. And so as a result of that, alhamdulillah, we have facilitated more than 2,000, 3,000 people to get married in different places in the world when they were having problems. They didn't know how to formulate the nikah. They were having problems developing the nikah and coming to some agreement with their parents. You know, the parents was talking cultural. The kids was talking reality. They wanted to get married, but then the parents are saying, no, you got to marry a Bengali, you got to marry a Pakistani, you got to marry an Indian, you know, you got to marry a Saudi, somebody from the Khalij, a Khaliji, you got to marry an African, you got to marry a Bosnian, you know, you got to marry who we think you should marry. And I'm not saying that children should not be inclined towards whatever the parents recommend. They should. It's a fact that most arranged marriages, they last longer than the ones that young people formulate for themselves. I'm going to repeat that. Statistically, the proof is that most marriages that are arranged between the parents, they last longer than marriages that are arranged between other than the parents. That's a fact. But now, in terms of the ratio of that, we can kind of like say maybe 70-30, 60-40. So what about those young kids who happen to meet each other in high school and they love each other? And they're now in college. They love each other. But guess what? They're of different tribes or races or ethnicities or back cultures. And they love each other and they know each other. They've been talking. They've been writing. They've been dating. You know, they've been seeing each other without doing anything haram. And they know now, that's the one I want to marry. But the parents are saying, no. Absolutely not. Well, there's a big problem there. There's a big problem. And that problem is that, you know what I mean, the fruit is already hanging. And they already hanging. You feel me? The fruit is hanging, and they hanging. And soon they're going to be banging. You know, if the parents is not smart enough and can put their cultural pride to the side, okay, and facilitate these young people to get married, even though they're from different ethnicities, different cultures, they are the 30% or the 40%. So, our brothers and sisters, we've been dealing with these problems because, you know, I'm from America. And in case you guys don't know, the African Americans or the indigenous Muslim Americans, you know, those that were born Christians, you know, we came into Islam. We had a taste of the Jahiliyyah. And even our children have a taste of the Jahiliyyah because it's right at the steps. And to keep it real, because we had a taste of the Jahiliyyah, we understand it better than most people, you know, who are born Muslims. And so it is that way Allah, He wrote it. I didn't write it. It's the way Allah, He wrote it. That sometimes we have a better insight about these issues than people who are cultural Muslims, that is, born within a Muslim family and all of that there. So, niyya to nikah, it's not my thing. It's not a different fiqh. It's not a madhab. It's not a bunch of rules. It is where we do intake. We do intake on a prospective bride or groom. You know, an intake means that we take not their CV or their resume. That's just where it starts at. We do an interview. We find out who are they, who are their parents, what's their background, what's their age, what kind of work do they do, you know, what's their inclinations, what's their social circles, you know, are you seeing somebody right now? What stage are you in and the seeing somebody? Have you selected somebody? Has somebody selected you? Are you in some social media platforms or groups or whatever the case might be? Have you talked to your mom and dad about this here? Have you looked into the background of that person? Do you have a wali? In the case of the brother, do you have somebody who can act as a representative for you? So all those kind of questions come up in the intake. After we do the intake, girls and boys, we put it into a database. Yeah, we put it into a database. A database that we control. You know, a database that we designed. We put all that into a database. Why? Because it's a matter of confidence. Your children can go to a bank and open up a bank account and have their own PIN code. Guess what, dad and mom? Yes, they can. In the United States of America, in Canada, in Australia, and all the Western countries, your children do not need your permission at 13, 14 years old to go and open up their own bank account and save their own money, spend their own money. They also don't need to come to you and tell you that they want, they're talking or thinking about getting married. They should, but in many cases, they don't want to because there's too many cultural barriers in place. So having this experience, and we're not suggesting for children to do that. Let me get that clear. We're not promoting your children to do that. I'm only saying children will do that because they can do that, mom and dad, because they got the tools sometime. And guess what? They're living on the edge. And when they're on the edge, mom and dad, and you don't catch it, like I said before, you don't catch it because you're not sensitive. You in cultural la-la land or whatever you want to call it, the grapes fall to the ground. The fruit falls to the ground. And it still remains fruit. It still remains fresh. But now it's on the ground for anybody to pick it up and consume it. Don't wait for that. So we have Lifeplan GPS, and you can go to KhalidYassin.com. Go to KhalidYassin.com. You can register there, and you want to do the intake. We don't have to see you. We don't have to meet you. If you have confidence in me and my staff, we can do an intake on the computer. I mean, right there, virtually, and then after that, we can start moving towards. We can help you formulate your NIA, and we can start the protocols and the steps towards selecting a prospective spouse and leading toward your marriage, contacting your parents, contacting your wali, assigning you a wali if you don't have one, assigning you, you know, send me a coordinator if you don't have one, and so that you can get married, and then after that, you can get your enjoyment, nikah. So go to KhalidYassin.com, and we'll start the process for you, inshallah.